Miss an interview? Listen to it now at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business, so should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC.
You're listening to Terry Wickstrom Outdoors on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan, and my name is Austin Parr, co-owner of Discount Fishing Tackle, filling in for Terry Wickstrom this week. And as I mentioned before the break, we've gone through a whole array of different opportunities for the fall, whether it be fall fishing for walleyes or trout in South Park, shooting ducks or geese coming up here starting off this weekend, or even big game hunting. But the one thing we have not really covered much is fly fishing, and that's always something that in this region, it really is king in a lot of ways. And down at Discount Fishing Tackle, not only do we have a fantastic selection of regional walleye and trout tackle, including huge selections of Salmo Hornets, jigs, all your different spoons and spinners, and the best selection of Tasmanian devils in the West, but we also have an absolutely insanely large fly fishing and fly tying selection. And I focus on a lot of it throughout the year. And although I don't really guide with it like I guide for walleyes and smallmouth bass, fly fishing is at the core one of my absolute favorite things to do. And particularly in the fall here, we have so many great opportunities to go out and take advantage of. So I'm going to kind of give everyone a breakdown throughout the different drainages in the state. And starting off certainly in the South Platte, it's one of the best drainages in the state as far as fishing is concerned, and certainly it takes some pressure, but there are a lot of fish in the South Platte River in the South Platte River drainage. So starting with 11 Mile Canyon right here. So that particular stretch is below 11 Mile Reservoir and is flowing 76 cubic feet per second. Now, in 11 Mile Canyon, that is a river that is famous for small flies, as a lot of the South Platte is, but small jujubatus and RS2s, being some of your betas nymphs and emergers, your blue-winged olives, also moving through some of your midges, such as a black beauty emerger, some of your jujube midges in there, and as well as your mercury midges, all are going to fish well. But the key to 11 Mile Canyon is fishing small flies and small tippets. So trying to be as much of a minimalist as you can in there. Those fish are very pressured, and not only does that small tippet get down a little bit better in the holes, it sinks faster, but it also obviously is disappearing better. And with that tippet, I'm always going to be utilizing fluorocarbon rather than monofilament when you're dealing with your tippet. And that fluorocarbon refracts light in nearly the same way that water does. So it will almost completely disappear underneath the water and therefore give you a much better chance for those fish not seeing your line, but also not having a bright indicator or heavy split shot that's super bright is all key. So I like using camouflage split shots as well as indicators that are going to be more of your clear or white tones. Now, as we move through the fall here, and particularly getting some cloud cover and colder weather this week, some of your dry fly presentations, such as your blue-winged olive hatches coming off, are going to start to turn on, and certainly having some dries in your box in 11 Mile Canyon is going to be critical. Moving down a bit, Cheeseman Canyon is flowing at 108 CFS, and Deckers is very similar moving down from there. Now, Cheeseman is going in nearly the same way that 11 Mile Canyon is right now, where the betas haven't quite started hatching yet, but using some of your betas nymphs like a jujubatus or a BTS nymph from Solitude Fly Company can really be productive down there. But your midges are always prolific throughout that stretch, so some of your same midges that you'd be using up in 11 Mile, Cheeseman will also work well. So some of your flashbang midges, mercury midges, as stated before, or even as simple as some zebra midges. Now, in that stretch, as with all of these, conventional fishing certainly can be productive as well. So maybe try some jigs in some of those stretches. And the other thing to not overlook in Cheeseman Canyon over the next few weeks are some egg patterns. So the browns haven't started spawning very heavily quite yet, but that will be coming up here very soon. So moving back up the drainage to the Dream Stream, that's flowing 75 CFS, and I'm sure some of you have heard there was a pretty good flood that happened up there, a flash flood actually, that was about a month or so ago, and it really did affect the river. It killed off a whole number of fish up there, so a lot of your resident fish are not nearly as prolific in there as they were before that flood. However, it will recover. It's a very healthy river with a lot of insect life. But the spawn is just starting to happen right now. So going up, you're starting to see a few kokanee salmon that are moving up right there. And some of your best patterns for kokanee salmon are purple, red, and pink San Juan worms, as well as the egg flies that I mentioned before. And with both of those techniques, you certainly can catch some of your lake run browns that haven't quite showed up yet, but a good cold snap is going to be moving up in there. Another thing I really want to mention as we're talking about some of these spawning runs right now is certainly making sure to remain ethical and thoughtful when you're fishing to these fish. So a lot of these brown trout in particular, these reservoirs and these ecosystems rely on natural spawning to take place for these brown trout to continue to be having strong populations. So definitely making sure you're not walking over their reds or, in other terms, their spawning beds. And then certainly being mindful of other anglers fishing, not pushing people too much, fishing below people rather than above, all of which are going to be good things to consider when you're fishing places like the Dream Stream. Shifting a bit, heading down toward the Arkansas River at Buena Vista, that's flowing a little bit stronger at 210 CFS. And that particular stretch, some of the larger nymphs are working pretty well right now. So moving into some of your more orange and rusty colored October caddis have been very productive on a subsurface level, but also a few stonefly nymphs, such as some tungsten golden stonefly nymphs and Pat's rubber legs are all fishing well. And off of those larger nymphs, I'm going to trail a smaller one, such as a little betis. So going back to that juju betis, that can be really, really good. But then there's also a fairly new one that's a Juan Ramirez tie. It's tied by Montana Fly Company that's called a Slim Shady. And that small betis is a very, very good pattern to consider throwing down there. Down toward the Colorado a bit at Kremling, it's flowing at 1,170 CFS, so much bigger, and a lot of people are still floating that stretch right now, and as you move down, the flows will increase as you get down toward Rio Rancho and Dot Cerro, but the floating has been fantastic in there, and the streamer action is really starting to turn on. So some of your more articulated patterns, such as your double gongas, have been very productive down there, but then also before this freeze, you may get a tail end of a little bit of hopper action left this week, but it's going to be ending very quickly. But certainly something to maybe put a larger nymph like a stonefly, like a Pat's rubber legs, or a 20-inch stone down below can be productive. And we'll start seeing some betis hatches as well as the spawn starting to materialize. So downsizing your flies and maybe adding an egg or two over the next few weeks is going to certainly help. This time of year, the Eagle is one of my favorites to fish, and that particular river is flowing at 188 CFS at Walcott. And indicator rigs have certainly been best down there. There haven't been a lot of hatches that have been coming off, but some of your October caddis nymphs have been good, once again moving into some of the rusty patterns, as well as having a few of your buckskin caddis nymphs. Those are very productive. And then betis in there are also very good. And then one of my favorite specific patterns for the Eagle on that stretch is a 20-incher stone. And that's tied with a lot of natural materials such as peacock curl. Doesn't have much flash, very neutral, and that pattern can be very, very productive throughout that stretch. And the Eagle has fantastic fishing all the way down from the confluence of the Colorado all the way up toward Minturn. And as you get up higher, the flows certainly decrease significantly. So you'll be using less of your indicator rigs and more of your dry dropper rigs as you move up. But that's certainly something to consider with great access all the way up and down. In the same drainage, but moving down toward the Frying Pan River is flowing at 222 CFS and has been very productive lately. However, still some crowded aspects, certainly, even with the fall coming on. But if you're fishing that main upper stretch, if you can get up there on a weekday, that's going to be the best. But that is a micey shrimp fishery. So going with a lead micey shrimp and then trailing down with some various betis patterns down below are productive. But that upper stretch also, as like I mentioned with all of these other ones, you can catch fish conventionally up there on various hair jigs as well. But as you move lower on the Frying Pan, you have opportunities at some dry flies as well as some less crowds. So if the upper stretch is not suiting your fancy with good fish or too many crowds, moving downstream is definitely going to be something to consider. One thing to note on the Colorado River drainage is the Williams Fork. So that particular river is one that a lot of people kind of think about, a lot of a good brown spawn coming up in there. And although that probably will happen this year, Parks and Wildlife is currently doing a pretty expansive stream restoration project up there, which is adding quite a bit of silt and sediment into the river. So if you're not looking to have a lot of silt or sediment in there, or you're looking to sight fish, I would probably not do the Williams Fork so much and maybe consider some other bodies of water. So moving down toward the Gunnison, the upper stretch at the Taylor is flowing 296 CFS, and it's also a micey shrimp fishery up there. There's good, solid populations of extremely large rainbows, as well as a growing population of brown trout. And so the browns are going to be spawning coming up, particularly with that cold water, and they may already be doing that at the moment. But a lead micey shrimp with a trailing egg, or once again, small betis down into those size 20s and 22s, more of your black colors are going to be super, super prolific up there on the Taylor. And then the Gunnison, that has been something that has a lot of people are asking about, particularly down at the store, and it's currently flowing 425 CFS in downtown Gunnison. And that's a fantastic flow up there, and the Kokanee salmon run has been going very strong now for a couple of weeks, and they're still up there quite heavily. So with those Kokanee salmon, they'll get in these big, deep holes, and keep in mind, the Gunnison River is one of the stretches that CPW is actually netting the salmon as they move up toward the East River and going to the Roaring Judy fish hatchery. And the salmon population in the state is largely relying upon that particular population. So certainly treating those salmon with respect and making sure to get them back in the water is critical, just due to the fact, you know, you can't snag them and you're not keeping a lot of those fish up in there at all. So, but as you're fishing that, going some of your egg patterns are really productive. Chartreuse eggs in particular have been very good. And then sparkle San Juan worms are also going to be a very, very good bet. Brown trout are also coming. So before we go, I want to just slide up into North Park here really quick. Up into North Park, you're not dealing with as good of river fishing as some of the other places. However, the North Platte has been fair. But as you move into the Delaney Buttes, the brown trout have been coming in very strong, and that's something I would certainly recommend. But once again, my name is Austin Parr, and I am a co-owner of Discount Fishing Tackle down on South Santa Fe Drive. I certainly appreciate Terry letting me host and everyone listening in today. I hope everyone found this information useful. And if anyone else has any questions on any of this information talked about, I'm down at the store all the time. Our address is 2645 South Santa Fe Drive, 6 blocks south of Evans on the west side of Santa Fe. Phone number 303-698-2550. Once again, you've been listening to Terry Wickstrom Outdoors on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Thanks, everyone, for listening, and be sure to tune in next week as Terry will fill you in on all the great fishing opportunities as we move through the fall. Thank you once again, and have a great day.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC. First
Bank. Banking for good.